you must be listening to the Goblin Broadcast Network at gbn.com. Amazing.
Hey, this is Chris Doyle and
this is Adrian Pommier
of Goodman Games East, and we are just glad you're listening to the Tome Show.
Welcome to episode 32 of The Tome. I am your Tome host, Jeff Greiner. The Tome is a D&D news and review podcast, and in this episode, we'll be figuring out who we are with WWE Know Your Role by Chris Engler. Welcome again to episode 32 of The Tome, Know Your Role, by Chris Engler. This was a contest entry. Chris sent this in, and I know I greatly appreciate it, and so we're going to get you a quick, it's a shorter than what you're used to, review of Know Your Role. So take it away, Chris, right after this promo of another podcast that I think has been great lately.
On tour with a regular traveler. The Roman Colosseum was begun in 80 BC during the reign of Emperor Vespasian at the height of the empire. It could hold 50,000 spectators, which could be shuffled in or out as efficiently as in modern stadiums. A wooden floor covered a network of tunnels, hiding gladiators and animals before it was their turn to fight to the death in the grand arena. On tour with the Gamer Traveler. The Roman Colosseum was begun in 80 BC during the reign of Emperor Vespasian, who was an 18th level fighter. It could hold 50,000 spectators, which could be shuffled in or out at a rate of between 15 to 20 per round. A wooden floor covered the dungeon crawl, hiding gladiators and animals before it was their turn to roll for initiative in the Grand Arena. The Gamer Traveler podcast combines gaming and travel all in one. In each episode, we feature a location around the world, learn about its history and travel appeal, and then find ways to use it in your games. We also have sound scene tours and interviews with other gamer travelers. Learn more by visiting thegamertraveler.com, where you can see the show notes, subscribe to the podcast, and post in the forums. The Gamer Traveler Podcast, because our world is the best campaign setting. thegamertraveler.com.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
This is Chris Engler from the Carpe GM podcast, and this mini review of WWE Know Your Role is for the exclusive use of the Tome Show. This product may be a little out there for your garden variety D&D player, but I'm here to talk about WWE Know Your Role, which is a pro wrestling themed D20 product based on Vince McMahon's World Wrestling Entertainment promotion. Now, I say D20, but it's more accurate to say that this makes use of the Open Gaming License, but anyone familiar with D20 will be comfortable with Know Your Role's mechanics. This book was published in 2005 by Comic Images and is a 150-page full-color glossy hardback. I'll start off by making a bit of a complaint about the production values. The binding on this book is terrible. My first book fell apart within 2 weeks of owning it. Now, to their credit, Comic Images did replace the book free of charge, but even my replacement book is showing signs of wear well before it really should. To make a character, or superstar as it's called, for Know Your Role, you follow much the same process that you would for D&D. You roll up or point by the 6 attributes, and then pick your class, feats, and skills. The classes are broader in definition than D&D, and are reminiscent of the base classes in D20 Modern. Also like D20 Modern, each class has access to talent trees that allow you to specialize and hone what your superstar can do. I'll briefly describe the different classes. There's the aerial superstar that specializes in high-risk, high-flying maneuvers. The power superstar uses brute strength to dominate opponents. The rough superstar uses brawling and sometimes self-injurious tactics of comparably less finesse to get the job done. The savvy superstar uses mind games, deviousness, and bends the rules to win. The technical superstar uses mat wrestling and pure athleticism as his main weapons. The final class is that of manager, which is quite different from the in-ring performers and is more of a support role to another superstar while being outside the ring. The skills you make use of in Know Your Role are practically all of the same skills you're used to seeing in D&D, only in a pro wrestling context. For example, concentration in Know Your Role is used for things like keeping your mind on your match if one of your opponent's allies is trying to divert your attention with some goings-on outside the ring. Feats are quite different in Know Your Role, and they feature great wrestling-themed abilities like Cheap Shot Artist, Signature Move, and Tag Team Specialist. Combat is where this game really starts to stray from traditional D20. At the beginning of a match, opponents stare each other down in order to gain initiative. From then on, in most cases, initiative goes to the player that last landed a successful maneuver. What's a bit of a twist is that at the start of subsequent rounds, the superstar who doesn't have initiative says what they will do first, and then the superstar with initiative can choose their course of action, knowing what the other superstar is trying. This can give the superstar with initiative a considerable advantage because they can pick a move that's more likely to succeed than the one their opponent has selected. Gone are the notion of hit points. Characters have endurance and trauma scores. Basically, endurance is equal to your constitution score multiplied by your character level. You take endurance damage from moves that your opponent successfully lands on you. Unlike the notion of hit points, you can go into negative endurance pretty much indefinitely, but you get a minus one to all die rolls for every 20 endurance damage you take. You also have the option, instead of trying a wrestling maneuver, to try and recover endurance damage during a round. Trauma damage comes from taking critical hits and being hit with foreign objects like chairs, and is equal to your constitution score. When you are at zero trauma, you are unconscious and helpless. To win a conventional match, you have to pin your opponent for the standard three count. After a successful pin attempt, your opponent has to attempt three consecutive saving throws, that's the normal will, reflex, and fortitude, in any order he chooses. If all three saving throws fail, he is pinned and loses the match. Now, there are ways to bolster your chances of pinning an opponent. For example, you can cheat a little and yank the tights for an automatic one count, but if the referee sees you, the pin count is automatically broken and you have to score another successful pin attempt to try and pin your opponent again. Now, this is just the conventional way to win a match. There are also rules for winning by submission and rules for specialty matches like cage matches and ladder matches. Now, personally, I'm a huge wrestling fan and have been for over two decades, so I have some pretty deeply entrenched opinions about wrestling in general. If you're not a wrestling fan, let me quickly explain a bit of lingo. In the pro wrestling world, something that is staged is known as a work, and something that is real is known as a shoot. For example, if the storyline of a wrestling match calls for making the fans believe that a wrestler has suffered a traumatic knee injury, that knee injury is a work. Conversely, if a wrestler, during the course of a match, legitimately hurts his knee, that injury is a shoot. One aspect of this game that I personally do not like is that your characters exist in a world where everything is a shoot. This I find a little insulting to my intelligence because everybody knows that practically all of what you see on TV in wrestling is a work. For example, we know that when we turn on the television and see Stone Cold Steve Austin pin Triple H in the ring, that Austin has not literally bested Triple H in combat. Practically all pro wrestling moves would be impossible to accomplish if your opponent wasn't helping you. For a pro wrestling RPG to have a combat system wherein my maneuver is being resisted, that makes me roll my eyes a little. I would much have preferred a system wherein the wrestlers are working together to get the desired reaction from the crowd. Now, there are certainly well-documented cases of wrestlers not liking each other legitimately in real life that are compelled to work together, and this can come out in interesting ways during a match. I would have liked to have seen a game wherein the backstage egotism and politics come into play as part of the role-playing, but in Know Your Role, there is no distinction between the character's identity and the character's wrestling persona. When the characters go to the ring to have a match, it's being put forward within the game universe as a legitimate athletic competition, not staged theatrical athletics. Now, that's just me having a bit of a fanboy rant. Despite my personal misgivings, this is still a lot of fun to play. Because I've played so much D&D, the combat system took a while to get used to, but once we had it down, matches went quickly and were a lot of fun. They made things easy by dividing moves into six broad categories, and each move category corresponds to one of the six attributes. Power maneuvers use strength, aerial maneuvers use dexterity, rough maneuvers use constitution, Technical maneuvers use intelligence, simple maneuvers use wisdom, and savvy maneuvers use charisma. What's innovative is that you use the ability modifier for the associated attribute when using a maneuver of that category, not just strength or dexterity like in D&D. The book provides a great assortment of moves and a very well thought out and easy to use system for designing new maneuvers. Now I have two more fanboy complaints about the maneuvers. Firstly, if a superstar has access to a category of maneuvers, then they are able to utilize all maneuvers in that category. Now, I realize that this is analogous to, for example, being able to use all simple weapons in D&D with a simple weapons proficiency. But I think that to be more realistic, this requires some refinement. Some categories have as many as 20 moves just in the book alone, and while there are some wrestlers that can execute this diversity of moves, this isn't typical. Additionally, there isn't much in the game to compel wrestlers to use what I'll call an escalation of moves. While there are mechanics that compel you to switch up the category of maneuvers you choose, a superstar can only attempt as many maneuvers in a row from a specific category equal to the ability modifier for that category, there's nothing to encourage an escalation that makes sense. For example, a powerbomb is a pretty high impact move in pro wrestling, and it's usually a meaningful point in the match when a wrestler uses that maneuver. But as it stands, in Know Your Role, a superstar could come out and attempt a powerbomb as the first maneuver in a match. Now, I wouldn't want the rules to specifically forbid things like this, but there should be some pretty hefty penalties. For a game that relies as much on physical combat as Know Your Role does, I have to say that the most fun comes from the smack talk. A standard game session is supposed to emulate a wrestling TV broadcast. So you have opportunities to shout, scream, and run down your opponent in backstage interviews and in front of the crowd. This is pure role-playing, and in my opinion, the best part of the game. While Know Your Role can't really specifically take credit for this, the genre of the game itself allows you to role-play in this way, and that's worth it alone for me. In general, this game will appeal most to people who are wrestling fans already. As it's a WWE-licensed product, the only perspective you get from the book is that of World Wrestling Entertainment. For anyone that plays this game, I totally recommend making up your own federation with its own feel based on what you like the most. If you're a wrestling fan at all and are familiar with D20, you'll love Know Your Role.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And that is Know Your Role by Chris Engler. Thank you very much for sending that in. And everybody else out there, remember, I am always, even when there's not a contest going on, I am always eager and welcoming to any audio comments or guest reviews that you want to send in. The more you guys send stuff in, the more I can get stuff out, and the more content that everybody gets to enjoy. As always, I urge and welcome listeners to help the show in any way you can. One of the best ways is to participate. Send your emails or audio comments to thetomeshow@gmail.com, or let me know if you're interested in reporting for the show regularly. You can also instant message me, join the Tome Yahoo group, or leave an audio, or you can call the Tome hotline at 206-888-6126. You can also dig the show at dig.com, vote for us at Podcast Alley, or leave an iTunes review. All of these things help the show get noticed, and I really appreciate that. Most of these can be found at the website at www.thetomeshow.com. Also, don't forget to check out the Tome's partner podcast, Fistful of Comics and Games. Talks about comics, games, and everything in between, whether it be movies, books, or whatever else is going on in the world of geekdom. Check them out at fistfulofcomics.com. And of course, Gamers Haven brings you great advice for GMs at canadiancrusaders.com. This has been episode 32, Know Your Role of
The Tome.